Gary Noka.
The country where it's the fans are you know, live and damn near die with their teams. And I will say this, I cannot imagine being a Hogs fan right now. And the roller coaster ride that you folks have been on. I mean, the Texas A&M game, blowing a 2-touchdown lead to lose in overtime. You're welcome. I don't know if you remember this. Fumbled the football in about the 6-inch line. Left some points on the field. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, the Alabama game. I mean, the Alabama game is where a lot of that happened. And the missed extra point, the missed field goal, and interceptions that hit your defensive back on the goal line right in the chest. Those kinds of things. I realize this game is just, it just crushes us, right, as fans. And that's okay, because we still get up on Sunday and we still listen to the radio and we talk about these games. And did we lose any sleep? I don't know. I quit losing sleep over sporting events several years ago, but I know a lot of people do. But you go right back to it, and you go back and you listen to your teams on the radio, and you go back to the stadium, and you check the recruiting websites and all that. But I do want to ask you this, because I was just having a conversation out there with Justin Akery and Pat Bradley on the radio. And they're telling me there's a lot of people who are into the world here. Tell me you all are okay, you Razorback fans that are we okay? Do we realize? Do we remember where we were? Right? Everything's going to be okay. Do we think Brett Bielema knows what he's doing? Do we have? Yes. Okay, good. Because there's no question in my mind. And the strides, I don't care what the win-loss record is, personally. Now, you guys might, okay, because you want to travel to a bowl game or whatever. I don't care. What I know is that this, and I'll say this too, growing up in Tulsa, I knew many a Razorback fan. And there are many Arkansas alums that live in that part of the state of Oklahoma. So I've always, if of all the SEC schools, I've always considered myself most closely tied to Arkansas because of geographics, because of the people that I knew. And so I want this team to win, but forget wins and losses. Do you see how much more competitive you are? And even at halftime Saturday, and you're getting thumped, 26-7, you outscore them in the second half. And that's something to be proud of moving forward. Did anybody think Arkansas was going to win the West this year? No. Did anybody think you were going to be in the top half? No. And I'm telling you, I don't know if it's Alabama or Ole Miss, or not Alabama, Ole Miss or Mississippi State, LSU, you're going to get somebody. You're going to get somebody. You are going to change that race in the West somehow. It's going to happen. I think everybody knows that it's going to happen. But Brett Bielema, I'm telling you, this is a guy. As a media member, we love him because he's very straightforward and honest. He doesn't hide behind anything. He doesn't sugarcoat. He tells you how it is, which is beautiful. The best thing about that is that's him, and that's him in the recruiting, in the recruits' living rooms. You know, so many of your parents, I can't even imagine how many of your parents, and I'm a parent, and if my kid is a high school stud, and he can go wherever he wants, and I get a coach in the living room who I think is BSing him, or I get Brett Bielema, who's not BSing him, and he's not BSing you, I know where I want my kid to go, and that's what he's doing. I want the guy who's going to tell it like it is. He's going to tell my kid like it is. If he's not going to class, he's going to get him to class. There's no question that Brett is going to get the guys he wants to get. They're coming here. You see the running backs coming. You see the offensive line coming. It's coming together. This is a team, I think next year, I think people will be talking about Arkansas maybe being third or fourth in the West, and the year after that, they might be in that conversation to win it. I just think that that's where they are. And I think you should be very proud. But if you're not, and you're struggling, that is the beauty of the SEC, because you take it so seriously. I'm in Alabama a lot. I'm in Mississippi. In a couple of weeks, I'm in Mississippi. They may not have anything negative actually going on right now, come to think of it. But that's the passion of the SEC. Can I ask you where else there could be a guy on TV multiple times a week named Booger? Nowhere. Only next to me and Greg McElroy on the SEC Network. His name is Booger. His name is Anthony. He hasn't gone by Anthony since he was two. He said his mom, when he was two, used to call him all kinds of names, and Booger was the one that ended up sticking. So he's a you little booger, and he's booger to this day. He won Super Bowls with the Colts and the Buccaneers, and he was an All-American standout at LSU. And I tell you, though, yes, everybody asked me, is it weird to look on TV and look straight and say, what do you think, booger? The first time or two, it was really weird. Like, really weird. I mean, I didn't know if they were going to bleep me every time I said his name. But it only took maybe a week or so, and Booger just kind of started rolling off the tongue, you know, so to speak. A few weeks ago, I was driving my almost five-year-old daughter, Nala. She's in preschool, and she likes to find out who I work with and who my friends are. Whatever. So she said, what are some names of people that you work with? And I said, well, I work with a guy named Booger. You should have seen her. Dad, those are in your nose. Someday, though, she's going to meet Booger. Someday soon, I think. Hopefully, are you all watching the SEC Network? I'm hoping so. Good. I love it. And I'll talk about the network shortly. But you heard Jim, and I appreciate the introduction. You heard kind of how I got there, how I got where I am. I was in Bristol, Connecticut for 7 years, Sports Center, Baseball Tonight, College Football Live. We left there, went to ESPNU for the reasons he said. When half the year, your wife, who, and at the time we had two kids, can't get the kids outside because it's snowing or it's 3 degrees, and not a happy wife, right? No, stay at home mom. No. And you know how it is too, like, bundling up little kids takes like 45 minutes. You can't find one glove, right? There's 14 layers on. So the opportunity to go to Charlotte came out. We jumped on it, got to be the face of a network, which was cool. I'm not a big ego guy. I hope you all don't think I am. But to go from kind of being one of 40 people that does the same shows in Bristol to being kind of the main person, I thought was cool. I love college sports. That's my passion. So we jumped on it, and Charlotte's a phenomenal place, phenomenal city. And then shortly after that, this Project X, as it was called by Mike Slive, the commissioner of the SEC, came about, quickly became known as the SEC Network. We all knew what it was, of course. I've got a great relationship with the conference and have for a long time. I do some play-by-play for basketball and college baseball. I've gone to media days every year, so they wanted me to do it, and so did ESPN, and so it was really a no-brainer. It was a no-brainer for me to do, and I'm so glad that I made the decision to do it. And the beauty of this network is, and a lot of networks aren't this way, and ESPNU wasn't this way. ESPNU might be on in some living rooms, but it's on in some living rooms, and the people may not be paying attention, or they're fixing dinner, or they're doing whatever. I realize that the SEC Network, it's not just on in your living room, but you're likely sitting in front of it and you're listening to what people are saying and you actually care what they say and you form opinions. And in many cases, you let us know what you think of what we say, which is great. I love it. But it is a far cry from where I started. I mean, I grew up in Tulsa, some 4 hours or so away, and I went to OU. And so the job search in this business is really difficult. And I mean, obviously, Chris knows this well, and many, and Dave, you know this well. It can be difficult to do this, particularly if you weren't an athlete. Again, not an athlete. But you graduate. I had a degree in broadcast journalism. I'm sending out all these resume tapes. I just want to get my foot in the door. I don't care where. Send me anywhere. I wasn't limiting myself geographically. I just wanted in. And I moved back home to Tulsa with my parents. I worked at Chili's, where I worked off and on through college. Any Chili heads at any particular time? Yep. This counts great, man. But I finally got a call about 4 months later from this little town, Kalispell, Montana. This one guy, the news director there, the boss, calls me up, says, we don't have enough money to fly you up for an interview, so we're doing a phone interview. Okay, I understand that. That's how that works. He said, there's 11 people that I'm talking to today. This was a Friday. I said, oh, I got a 9% chance. Awesome. Thanks. It's my math. See, I could have been a doctor. But that next Monday, he called me up and offered me the job. And so I went. Now, I don't know if you've heard of Kalispell, but if you haven't, if you've ever heard of Glacier National Park, which is like the most incredible place on this particular continent and maybe any, it's right near the entrance to it. names of people that have lived there or do live there. Phil Jackson, Drew Bledsoe, Shania Twain, Kiefer Sutherland, Jim Nabors, who Gomer Pyle lived there, died recently. But what I covered there, my job was four high schools. Listen to the names. Flathead, Whitefish, Big Fork, and Columbia Falls. I covered four high schools. That was it. So 2 years later, when I was looking for that next job to make that next step, I got an opportunity to go to Lincoln, Nebraska. So I go from covering four high schools in Montana to a team that was playing in that was in the national title picture every year at that time. I covered Eric Crouch throughout his Heisman Trophy season in 2001. I grew up, you know, in Oklahoma, but fully understanding and appreciating Nebraska, because who wouldn't at that time? It was a great rivalry, but a very healthy, respectful one. Did that for 2 years, went to Tulsa, covered Oklahoma, covered more Oklahoma State, actually, covered University of Tulsa for 2 years, then eventually got the chance to go to Bristol and then Charlotte and the SEC Network. And I work with some great people. Like, if you watch the network, you watch Booger, who doesn't look like a booger to me, so that's awesome for him. Greg McElroy, I'm telling you, you talk about, I don't know if you guys liked him, or he was one of those guys you probably loved to hate when he was at college at Alabama. What a guy. Like, phenomenal guy, and he does his homework. If you ever watch him and you say to yourself, this guy has no idea what he's talking about, you are, I'm telling you now, you are dead wrong. He watches tape of every game after they're played throughout the week, and he comes back so unbelievably prepared. But if you ever watch him, there is so much Nick Saban in McElroy, it is unbelievable. So you watch Nick, right? And you watch Nick talk, and it's all about the hands. And he uses phrases like, well, we didn't play particularly well relative to the way that we played last week. Just watch. Next time you watch it, watch McElroy. And he does a lot of this. We call him playing the piano while he talks, because he's constantly doing this. But relative to, I mean, he's total Saban. It's awesome. In regards to. Tim Tebow, also a member of our network. I worked with him a little bit for like the first couple of weeks of the network when he was in Charlotte. It's funny. The first thing he says to me is, he goes, you went to OU, right? Right. And I said, yep. He goes, whew, I'm sorry. I said, whoa, why are you sorry? And he said, is it hard, like, rooting for a team that seems to let you down all the time? Thanks, Tim. And thanks for that 08 championship game, by the way. Who does a jump pass in football? I asked him that. Who does a jump pass? And then he goes into this spiel, because we had this great spread like we had today. And what is he eating? He's eating a plate that's this big with nothing but shredded chicken. There's no sauce. There's no bread. Like, what do you? Is this what you eat all the time? And he called it. I got it written down. It's a diet. Oh gosh, where are you, Timmy? His body is always in a state of ketosis. I just want you all to know that about Tim. I don't have a clue what the hell it means. Do you know what it means? Okay, just look it up. I haven't. A couple of months ago. It was actually the first night of the regular season, the 28th, the A&M South Carolina night. I had the pleasure of hosting for the first time the Paul Feinbaum show. You all watch or listen to the Paul Feinbaum show? Holy smokes. I don't know how he does that for 4 hours a day. I'm actually hosting it with him one day next week. 20 hours a week he does that show. And if you're one of the ones that calls into the show, although I don't see a lot of Arkansans calling into the show, but if you are one, I don't mean to insult you, but wow. I mean, I got all the regulars in that one day. They don't care who's hosting. They didn't call. Jim in Tuscaloosa just destroyed me, said I talk too much. Some of you right now can probably agree with that. Phyllis in Mulga, Alabama, called and defended me because she hates Jim. I don't think she cared about me, really. She just wanted to yell at Jim. What I love is that a lot of people in SEC country say, oh, I watch show all the time. Those callers don't represent me, though, or my fan base. I hope they don't. But what they are is a great example of what I was talking about, the passion of the Southeastern Conference. My radio gig, heard about it, Dari and Mel, ESPN Radio, Saturday mornings. Love that show. We're almost 4 years into it, and a little tidbit about it is that for 3.5 years, Mel and I had done the show together and had never met. We'd never been in the same room at the same time. He does it from his house in Baltimore. I do it from our studio in Charlotte. We never met until for the first time this past May, I got to go and cover the NFL draft for ESPN Radio, which I hope to do again in Chicago next year. What a guy, though. What an unbelievable guy. And I knew that from doing the show with him and talking to him on the phone or emailing him through the course of the week. But, my gosh, he's fantastic. And hopefully you all know who Mel Kiper is, but the draft expert there. It's funny, though. He's not just a football guy, and we try to make that clear throughout that show. He's a huge baseball fan. He's an enormous Baltimore Orioles fan. In fact, he had tickets all the way through the World Series, so a lot of them are going to go unused now. Loves the Baltimore Ravens, goes to their games. Had a hard time defending Ray Rice, though, fortunately. Loves the NBA. I'm gonna give you some interesting tidbits about Mel, though. I don't know if you know, but now the next time you see him or you hear him, and I'm not divulging any information I shouldn't. We've joked about all this on the air before. Every breakfast, every day for breakfast, he eats the same thing. Pumpkin pie filling. The crust has too many hydrogenated fats, so he eats the filling with some fat-free whipped cream. That's breakfast every day. He's never written a check. He's never used an ATM card, ever. His wife, Kim, kind of runs his whole business. She basically hands him cash, and he uses it. Just keep that in mind. People have always asked, too, well, if you're not in the same room doing the show together, because this business is full of nonverbal communication. You know, if I'm working with somebody and they're next to me, or like McElroy and Booger will be next to me and I'll be doing a highlight, I'm constantly peeking at them. Do you want to jump in? Do you want to say something? And, you know, one of them might hold up a hand or kind of hit me a little bit. The business is full of that. I can't see Mel. So they say, how do you not talk over each other if you can't see each other? And I said, well, fortunately, it's easy for me because I know that I can talk when Mel breathes. He takes a breath. He's done. He's amazing, though. I'm telling you, it's incredible what he can recall from a random player in, like, the 1992 draft. I could look up a guy that was drafted, say, what was your scouting report on John Williams out of Texas Tech in 92. Oh, he's, 4'5", 40, 32-inch vertical, great cornerback, hands were okay, but not great. Mid-round guy. And I'm telling you, he does the show without notes. He has nothing sitting on his lap. He sits in a chair and does the show with nothing. I have a computer. I got two computers, actually, that I'm working off of. It's pretty crazy. How much do you all follow recruiting? And I'm just checking my time because I don't want to take up question time. You guys follow recruiting quite a bit? Yeah. I can't stand it. I'll be dead serious. I think it's overblown. Sorry. I think it's over. Norman, though, whenever you want to go. I think it's overblown. I think that we give these young men way too much love from the standpoint of trying to determine how great they're going to be as a college football player when they've not taken one college class. They've not had one college orientation. They don't even know what they're going to try to study, and they certainly haven't tried to balance 20 hours a week of practice plus games plus travel plus media with school. And so I'm always really hesitant to do that. But when I was at ESPNU for 3 years, I had to do it, a lot of the recruiting stuff, which means that I did the Under Armour All-America high school game, if you all watched that. And what I did for 3 years was basically sit up in the stands. We had a stage where seven kids a year would come up and announce to me their college choice, which is just a sideshow you would not believe. I'm telling you what, the hats, the gloves. So 3 years ago, I'm there, and there's the number one safety in the country is a guy by the name of Landon Collins. I know you know who he is now, but do you remember this moment at all? It's what I still get asked about more than anything else I ever did. So we get Landon in the chair. Landon's mom, lovely lady, is there as well. He's got high school coaches, ex-girlfriend, or girlfriend. I shouldn't say ex. The mom wished she had been an ex because there was a big old fight before the thing from between mom and girlfriend about who's going to stand where and sit on the couch with it. So Landon does his commitment. So he's from New Orleans. He's choosing between LSU and Alabama. And I say, all right, you know, we're on the air. Landon, where are you going to go? He says, I've decided I'm going to go play at the University of Alabama. And his mom is sitting right next to him, right on the screen, and she starts this act. So I have to ask her, I mean, why are you, you know, not happy with his decision? I just think he should have gone to LSU. And then she starts this chant. We're at Tropicana Field in Tampa. And she's like, LSU, LSU. Now, there's a lot of parents here. Again, who would do that? And we talked to Landon last week. I hadn't talked to him since then. And he said it took months before they were able to speak again. I got to see her last January at the Under Armour game because she happened to have another son by the name of, oh my goodness, I can't remember his first name. Willis is his last name. That's why I can't stand recruiting. Gerald Willis. And he was choosing between LSU and Florida. Okay. Now she's fighting with Gerald's stepmom because dad remarried. So they're arguing. Not only are they arguing, they're off this. I'm 15 feet away from them, and I'm doing part of my live segment. They're not on yet. They're over there, but I can hear them fighting as I'm trying to do a halftime report. They're over there fighting, yelling. We go to break. We start moving them in. Okay, Gerald's here, mom, stepmom, whatever. Mom and stepmom are still fighting. Now we're in a break. Okay, we're like 30 seconds back. They're fighting. They're arguing. I don't even know what they're arguing, but just yelling. We get Gerald seated. 15 seconds. They're still fighting. And then the mom, who was there 3 years before with Landon, delivers one of these, boom, right to the shoulder of the stepmom. And now Gerald, we got people all around. Gerald's over there. I'm going to back away from the mic. This is how it stops. Mom, mom! 10 seconds later, we're on, and he announces he's going to Florida. Thank God. Like, at what point? One went to Bama and one went to Florida and none stayed home. At what point do you figure it out?
That's good stuff. We got to take a timeout. Dari Noka on the podium today here at the Little Rock Touchdown.